Shavua Tov Umborach. We are studying Sefer Tehillim of David HaMelech Alav HaShalom. We are in chapter Chav Gimel tonight, chapter 23. As most of you are already aware, that there's a ground operation taking place in Eretz Yisrael. Today, over Shabbat, the soldiers entered in by foot into the region over there in order to root out Be'ezrat Hashem, Oyvei Hashem. So, of course, as we're learning tonight, Sefer Tehillim should be a zechut for the soldiers, for Klal Yisrael, for the Shemirah. Yadber son'enu tahtehem vi'atirem v'cheter Yeshua v'atiret nisachon. And there should be shalom ba'aretz, v'shalom ba'olam, v'am Yisrael. And zechut David HaMelech alav shalom yagen ba'adam uva'adenu, amen v'amen. We are in Tehillim, as I said tonight, chapter 23. It's a more famous, common chapter. Mizmor leDavid Adonai ro'i lo ehsar. David HaMelech said this Tehillim at a very dangerous and discouraging period of his life. He was running away from Shaul HaMelech, the armies were chasing him, and he got to a desolate forest called Ya'ar Haret, like it says in the Navi in Perek Chavbet in Shemuel Aleph. Haret, the Gemara's Doresh, sounds like the word Heres, Haret, Hares, was a very dry land. It was parched. David HaMelech did not have anything to drink. There was no vegetation. And then miraculously, Borei Olam soaked this dry area with moisture. And all of a sudden, things started to grow. And it had the fragrance and the taste of Olam Abba. So David HaMelech says in the beginning of the chapter, Hashem Ru'i, God, you are my shepherd, which means you guided me during this time when I was in Ya'ar Haret. Bin od deshe yerbiseni, and you laid me down on lush meadows. As a reference to the miracle that Borei Olam supported and nourished David HaMelech during that time. Also, the Mefarshim studied this perek that it was a reference to the Dor HaMidbar. When the Jewish people were in Egypt, they were in Egypt, in the Midbar, in the desert, for 40 years. There was also a place where there's no vegetation. Like the Pasuk says, Amulichecha b'midbar, 40 shana. God guided us in the Midbar 40 years, into a place, v'simma'on asher en bo mayim. There's no water in the Midbar. But miraculously, the well of Miriam traveled with us. And wherever the well came, it overflowed, and next to it grew grass. And all of a sudden, wherever Klal Yisrael was, became a very beautiful area. And things grew, and they had the man, and they were able to eat for 40 years without any lacking. So David HaMelech is referring to that generation. Hashem Ro'i, you guided us during the Midbar, lo ihsar. And therefore I was not lacking anything, even in a place that's devoid of any sustenance. This chapter is very beneficial for people to say it. It's a singular for Parnasa. That's what the Arizal said. So if you count the words in this chapter, there's 57 words corresponding to the word Zan. Hazan etakol. Zan is 57. Furthermore, if you count the letters of this chapter, it's 227. The exact numerical value of the word beracha. So therefore the Arizal said, those that recite the chapter and live by the principles of the chapter will have zan, will have parnasa, and beracha. Some have the custom to say this chapter when they sit down to a se'udah. The Mishnah Berurah brings it down in Ora Hayim, in Kufsam Mikhvav. He writes over there from the Eliyahu Rabbah that some say this between the Tilat Shadayim and Hamotzi. After they wash for bread, before they make that motzi, they say Mizmor LeDavid, Hashem Ro'i. That's not our custom to make a hefsek between a tila and a motzi. Some say Mizmor LeDavid before kiddush. like we do on Shabbat Kodesh, we say the chapter of Mizmor David. Some say the Mizmor David during the Seudah itself as they're eating the bread. In any event, it's a very important chapter, not only in its sigulot that it has behind it, but in its lessons as well. So let's begin. B'shem Hashem Mizmor David. Hashem Ro'i. Now Ro'i over here means the one, my shepherd. But just like a shepherd provides nourishment for the sheep, so God is David's shepherd, he says. He provides nourishment. For example, Yosef HaSadiq is also considered Ro'e, because he was the one that provided nourishment for the people during the famine. That's why if you look at the chapter Peh in Tehillim, David HaMelech says, Ro'e Yisrael Ha'azina Noheg Kason Yosef. He refers to Yosef as a shepherd also, Noheg Kason Yosef. Because Yosef was like a shepherd, meaning that he sustained the nation of Egypt and the family of Yaakov during the times of famine. Lo yahsar. So therefore, just like the sheep does not have to worry where his next meal is going to come from, because he puts his faith in the shepherd that he's going to graze him to the right places. So David HaMelech Alav Hashem says the same thing. Hashem Ro'i, God is my shepherd. Lo yahsar. I don't lack anything, and I have no worries. The Panim Yafot explains over here that we know that the Ikar reward in the next world is a spiritual reward. In this world, there's no reward for the mitzvot. Sechar b'hai al maleka. We anticipate a spiritual reward, but it's possible, because of averot, sometimes God will convert the spiritual reward into a physical reward and pay you here. Once you get paid in this world, that depletes the storage of Olam Abba that's waiting for us. God sometimes does that, like David HaMelech says in another chapter. Ishba'ar lo yeda uksin lo yavin et zot. Mifrawah resha'im ke mu'esev vayasisu kol po'ale aven leshamedam ade'ad. People don't understand why the wicked prosper. Mifrawah resha'im ke mu'esev vayasisu kol po'ale aven. But David HaMelech says, you know why? Because they have zikhuyot. They did something good in their life, so God is cashing them out. God is giving them all the goodies in this world, lehishamedam ade'ad, to ultimately destroy them. And therefore, their good life in this world depletes the next world. David HaMelech Alav HaShalom says, Hashem Ro'i, God is my shepherd and He has given me so much bounty in my life. But also, lo ihsan, it's not going to take away and diminish from my Olam Abba. He says, I am sure that it's not going to deprive me from the hereafter. There's a famous story of Rabbi Hanina bin Dosa. Rabbi Hanina bin Dosa was a poor man. He didn't even have food for Shabbat. He didn't even have oil to light the candles for the Shabbat. So one day he saw his wife was crying. So he said, you know what? I'm going to bring down a beracha for my family. He prayed to Borei Olam, and all of a sudden a gold leg came down from the Shamayim. He brought it home. The wife of Rabbi Hanina said, where'd you get this from? Borei Olam gave it to me. She said, no, you know where this came from? This came from our table. In the Olam Abba, we have a table with four legs. They gave you one of the legs. I'm not interested that everybody's going to sit on a four-legged table, and we're going to sit on a three-legged table. I'm not interested in this. Give it back. The Gemara says, God gives, but it doesn't take back. It was a bigger miracle that God even took it back. So you see, sometimes when a person gets beracha in this world, he has to be careful, shelo yahsar, that it doesn't take away. In that case, the wife of the Rabbi Hanina knew that this over here was already a depletion of Olam Abba. Therefore, she was not interested. Rather, have a difficult time in this world instead of having an eternal deprivation. Simply it means, in lush meadows, he lays me down. Again, this could be referring to the people in the Midbar, that even though it was a dry, arid desert, in Odisha, Yerbitzeni, God laid them down in lush meadows. Al-Miminuhot, that could be referring to the tranquil waters of Be'irash and Miriam, Yinahaleni. God led them in the Midbar with the waters of Miriam. I saw a beautiful interpretation from Rav Chaim Volozhin on this pasuk. Sometimes people have an urge to move. They're living in a certain place, or they're in a certain job, or they're in a certain stage in life, where they want to get out of that stage. They want to go to the next level. They want to go somewhere else. They want to get out of whatever they're in. But not always is God ready to move you based on your schedule and based on your timetable. And therefore, a person has to be accepting that even when God lays him down, which means he wants to move, he wants to promote himself, he wants to change, but it's not working. So he has to have an attitude that even when God is laying him down, it's been od deshe. It's considered lush meadows. It's good. Bin od deshe. It's considered lush meadows. Even when you nahaleni. Even when he's locking me down and I want to move, but it's not going for me. I'm trying to do different things. No lech. And I always end up in the same spot. Yinahaleni. He's laying me down. He's not letting me move. The greatness of the people that have Imunah is that even in the difficult times where they can't progress, the attitude is, Benodeshe. It's good. It's lush meadows. Boy Allah knows what he's doing. Doesn't go according to our schedule. Goes according to his schedule. And then he says the opposite. Al-Bem Minuchot Yinahaleni. And he leaves me by tranquil waters. Which means sometimes a person wants to stay put. Person's happy where he is. He's happy in his house. He's happy with his life. But Borei Olam has different plans. Borei Olam says, no, now it's time to move you. And he takes him out of his job. He puts him somewhere else. He takes him out of his community and he causes him to move in another place. Or things start to change in his life and he's telling Borei Olam, I'm not ready to move. I'm good. The greatness of the tzaddikim who have emunah, that even when they're in the mode of yinahaleni, when they're moving, and they don't want to move, they say, you know what? It's tranquil waters. That no matter what Borei Olam does for them, even though it's against what they intended for themselves, when they lay down and they wanted to move, when they want to lay down and God's moving them, their attitude always is, whatever God does, it's either been odeshe, or it was considered meminuchot. Nafshi yeshovev yanchaini. Actually, we read it, nafshi yeshovev, comma, yanchaini b'ma'ged etzedek, lema'an shemo. Literally, nafshi yeshovev means, he restores my soul. What does it mean, he restores my soul? David HaMelech was very wealthy. He was also a king. We know what it says in the Mishnah of Pirkei Avot about wealth. Merbe nechasim, merbe de'aga. A person has so much wealth, he has a lot of worries that come with the wealth. He has to always think about his assets, and about what he lost, and what he had. Merbe nechasim, merbe de'aga. He loses his yeshuv ha'da'at. There's a famous piece by the Chovot HaLevavot, where he tells a story of the Hasid, that he prayed to Borei Olam that Hashem should save him from what's called Pizur HaNefesh, scattering of the soul. They asked him, what do you mean? What is this Pizur HaNefesh that you're talking? He said, I don't want to become excessively wealthy, because then my nefesh, my soul, is scattered all over the world. He's thinking about China, and he's thinking about Hong Kong, and he's thinking about Paris, and his mind is all over, and he has to travel all over, and then it's considered pizura nefesh. With great wealth comes great frustration or great anxiety. So that's what David HaMelech is saying over here. When he says, please Borei Olam, even though you gave me great wealth, with it you also gave me yeshuv ha'da'at. I didn't lose my concentration. I didn't lose my peace of mind. Nafshi yeshoviv. Yeshuvah from the Lashon Yeshuv. Where does a person receive this Yeshuv Adat from? Where does a person get this tranquility of peace of mind from? Even a wealthy man, where is he going to get his peace of mind from? From his wealth? No, that's where he gets his confusion. That's where he gets his de'agot. David HaMelech says in another chapter, Torah Hashem Timima Yeshivat Nafesh. Only from learning, only from Torah. Torah is an escape. When a person goes into the yeshiva and he sits and studies Torah, David HaMelech says, Yeshivat Nafesh. It's a restoration of the soul. It gives the soul a certain peace of mind. They don't call it the yeshiva because they sit. Because sometimes when you go to the yeshiva, you see them standing. And in the olden days, they would always stand when they were learning Torah. Until Rabban Gamliel came and changed it. And in those days, they didn't call the yeshiva an amida. It was always called the yeshiva. Why? Because it's miyeshivet da'ato shel adam. The yeshiva gives a person a certain amount of peace of mind. It's an escape. We know it. You know it yourselves. Before you go to work, you come to study. That's the best part of the day. You're just learning. Your mind is at ease. Then you have to go out with all the tohu vavohu that's out there. David HaMelech says, Nafshi yeshovev. You have restored my soul. Through what? Through giving me the zechut that I'm able to study Torah. In another chapter, what does David HaMelech request from God? Ahad sha'alti me'et Hashem. Ota avakesh. Shifti bebet Hashem kol yemehayai. Lahazot benoam Adonai ulbakir beechalo. David HaMelech's one request was Ahad sha'alti. One request. Ota avakesh. I'm going to ask it over and over again. Shifti bebet Hashem. Give me the zechut to sit in the house of God kol yemehayai. Forever. Which means he knew that if he's not going to have in the yeshiva is considered self-preservation. As a king, you have so much things on your plate, you have so much responsibility, so much things that can take a person out of his world. So David HaMelech says, as long as I'm connected to the yeshiva, that's my preservation. That already preserves the mind of a person. Because you can't in a world today that's so fast moving and so fast paced. It's only the yeshiva, the synagogue, the shi'ure Torah, it's therapeutic. The Torah becomes like a medicine. Like it says in the Gemara, Sam Hayim becomes an antidote that brings life to a person. Hash Berosho, Yasod B'Torah, the Gemara says. Person has a headache, what is he supposed to do? Study Torah. What does it mean? It means that a person's head is spinning from all the travails of this world. You want to get out of it, where are you going to go? We're going to escape. Yasod B'Torah, go study Torah. Torah Hashem Tivimah Mishivat Nafesh. That's what David HaMelech says here. Nafshi Yeshovev. Yanheni B'Ma'agel Esedek. Literally it means you guided me or you led me on the path of justice. This could be referring to many situations that you see in the Torah, how Borei Olam made what's called Kifitzat HaDerech. When the Tzaddik wants to get from one place to another place, instead of having to take the long route, Borei Olam makes what's called Ma'agal Tzedek, the righteous route, which is able to jump from one place to another with ease. Similarly, the Jewish people in the Midbar traveled the Ma'agal Tzedek. The terrain in the desert is very mountainous and very hilly. It would be very difficult for these people to travel with their children, especially constantly on a rugged terrain. Borei Olam brought the Anane Kavod, the clouds of glory, it says, smoothed out the derech, and it flattened out the terrain so it was smooth. So David HaMelech is thanking Borei Olam for that situation in the Midbar. Yanheni, you led me b'ma'agel tzedek, on a road of justice which was a smooth path. Gam ki elech beget sal mavet lo ira ra. There's a lot being said in this pasuk. Though I walk in the valley overshadowed by death, gam ki elech, even if I walk in the valley of death, beget sal mavet, tzal is a tzil, is a shadow. Mavit is death. Even if I walk into a valley that's overshadowed by death, the Targum says this is referring to Galut, the exile, which we're in now. Lo irara. I'm not afraid of anything. I fear no evil, David HaMelech says. They once went to a Hasid who was in the Midbar. They told him, you're not afraid of the lions, you're not afraid of the wild bears, and all the animals that are there to damage you. So he said, the Hasid, I'm not afraid of all these things, because my fear is limited to one thing, to Borei Olam. Once I have fear of Borei Olam, all the other fears dissipate. There's no fear like the fear of Borei Olam. Once you have fear of Borei Olam, then Borei Olam is with you, and he protects you from everything else. But if a person doesn't have fear of God, then he should be afraid of everything else in the world. Then everything else becomes a threat. So therefore he says, I contain all my fears and direct it to Borei Olam. Gam ki elech beget zal mavet. David HaMelech says, lo ira ra. I'm not afraid of ra. What am I afraid of? Borei Olam. Ki atai madi. And as a result, when one puts his fear in Borei Olam, then already Borei Olam protects him. But once you put your fear in other things, now you become vulnerable to those things where you put your fear in. So David HaMelech says, lo ira ra. I'm not afraid of anything else except what? Except you. Ki atai madi. Because you are with me. And then he says, Shivtecha umishantecha hema yerachamun. We have to explain what these words mean. Shivtecha means your stick, your rod. A shivet is usually used to hit somebody, to punish. Umishantecha. A mish'an is a staff that's usually used to lean on. Mish'an u'miftah la-saddiqin. God sometimes uses his stick, his rod, to punish me, and sometimes he uses his staff to support me. David HaMelech says, both console me. Shivtecha u'mish'antecha. Hema, both of them, yinahamuni, bring me consolation. David, I understand how God's staff consoles you. Everybody enjoys the support of God. That's when you're enjoying good times. But how does the rod of affliction, how does that give you nehama? He says, both give him nehama. Shivtecha u'mish'antecha. Mish'antecha, I understand, yinahamuni. But what do you mean shivtecha? So different explanations have been said. One explanation is, the Gemara says, somebody goes 30 days without yisurin, if he goes 30 days without affliction, he has to start worrying. Why? Because maybe God is cashing him out in this world. Maybe he's getting all the reward in this world, that's why everything is good. Once he gets some yisurin, he realizes, no, that God's punishing him still. And therefore his reward is preserved, la'atid labo. So David HaMelech says, Shivtecha, even when you hit me, you're nahamuni. I was comforted. Now Baruch Hashem, you're giving it to me here, and going back to what we said earlier, lo ihsar. I'm not losing anything from my eternal world. Another interpretation. The Gemara says, on the Pasuk, Ki et asher ye'ehav Hashem yuchiyah. There's a certain concept called Yisurin shel ahava. To those that Borei Olam loves, sometimes he gives them an extra measure of affliction. And that's a sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds these people dear to him. So David HaMelech says, Shivtecha u'mish'antecha, even when I get the Shevet, I know this is Yisurin Shel Ahava, and therefore I know I'm on your good list, and therefore Yinahamuni consoles me. But I want to explain a third explanation tonight, based on what we said in the previous shiur. You remember we spoke at great length over Hanukkah, and I'm not going to repeat the whole shmooze now, but just the nekudah, the heart of it, we set over a secret. It was a secret that we gave out. That when a person goes through difficult times, it's in his ability to change it. He has the ability to turn the luck that's going in the wrong direction, you could turn it and put it back on track. How? By your attitude. By saying, Gamzu Letova. That was the trick of Nahumish Gamzu. That was the trick of Rabbi Akiva. Kol Da'avid Rahamana Letav Avid. And the Ben Ish-Hai writes in Beferush, you shouldn't think that I made it up. The Ben Ish-Hai writes in Ben Yoyada that the positive reaction by saying Gamzu Letova makes it Tova. That positive reinforcement has an ability to make even from the bitterness sweet. And anybody that used this method, as we proved, Nahum, or Rabbi Akiva, his student, or Yaakov Avinu, or we talked about the Hashmonaim, it's a fail-proof method. That when you have din, Chas v'Shalom, and you make a mituka din, you sweeten the judgment by saying, Gamzu Letova, that makes a mituk. When you add Havayat Elohim, so now you create a sweetening of the judgment, and therefore the bitter coffee becomes sweet, like we said. We gave a whole long talk on this. David HaMelech might be alluding to this concept over here. What brings David HaMelech consolation? Shiftecha u'mishantecha. When I combine your shevet and your mishan together, when I make this shituf, when I make this shiluv, God, when you bring me your shevet, and I add mish'an, when God hits me and I say, Gamzu Letova, Borei Olam's great, he knows what he's doing, when I see the good in everything, and I say, Borei Olam's taking care of me, he doesn't make a mistake, Shiftecha, that's God contributes to Shiftecha, I contribute the mish'an. Now we put it together, Hema, both of them simultaneously, Yerachamuni. Then the result is consolation. Shevet alone is not a consolation. Shevet is trouble. But if you have Shevet and you add Mish'an, Hema together, Shneem Be'yachad, Yerachamuni brings me a Nechama. Ta'aruch Lefanai Shulhan Neged Solerai. You prepare a table before me in view of my tormentors. This is referring over here when the Jewish people were in the Midbar. So all the Goyim, they didn't know how we're going to survive. So the Goyim said, like David HaMelech writes in another chapter, in chapter 78, Hayuchal el la'aroch shulhan Midbar. That's what the Goyim said. Who's going to feed these people? Does God have an ability to set a table in the Midbar? It's not a dining room. It's not a cafeteria. And Borei Olam not only provided, but he provided them man every single day. And the man tasted like anything they wanted. And therefore David HaMelech says, in front of our enemies, Ta'aruch lefanai shulhan, you set a table of man in the Midbar, neged sorerai, against my tormentors. They were saying, how are they going to exist? How are they going to survive? And you did it. The miracle of the man, taruch levarai shuchan, neged sorerai. Then David HaMelech says, dishanta bashemen roshi. The Gemara says that when David HaMelech became anointed as king, they anointed him with oil. The oil is moist, and it rolls down the head and goes down to the beard. After David HaMelech committed the sin of Bathsheba, the people started to say, David, your oil has dried up, which means that nomination of the king, you're not worthy anymore. But Borei Olam accepted the repentance of David HaMelech. And therefore, when the people said that the oil dried up, Borei Olam says, Dishanta b'shemen roshi. The oil that they put on my head is still considered, it's still considered moist. It's still considered dashem. David HaMelech is thankful to Borei Olam that his kingdom did not dry up, even though the people wanted to say that the oil dried up. Kosirevaya literally means my cup overflows. The Gemara says in Yomah, La'atid Lavod is going to be a big kiddush, and David HaMelech is going to hold the kiddush, the cup, and it says it's going to be a very big cup. There's going to be 221 log of wine in the cup. You want to know how much that is? A log, we drink rivi'ita log. Rivi'ita log is 3 ounces. So one log is about 10 ounces. A can of Coke is a log. Okay, I don't know why I picked that, but that's fine. 10 ounces, let's say, is a complete log. 221 log. That's what? 2,200 ounces? How much is 2,200 ounces? Go figure it out. How many gallons? I don't know what that's going to be. A tub. I don't know what type of course this is. And they learn it from the Pasuk. Kosi Revaya. The numerical value of Revaya is 221. So it says, Kosi, my cup, Revaya. It's going to be a big cup. The word kos equals 86. 86 is the same numerical value as the word Elohim. Kos is din. Always whenever you see kos, kos and din are equal. Kos equals 86. 86 is Elohim. Elohim is din. Why is a kos din? I'll explain to you the depth of it. Because 86, yeah, but what's the depth of it? Why? You know, numerically it equals Elohim, that's for sure. A cup can only hold an exact measure. A cup is limited, it cannot hold more. It's finite, it's limited, it's exact. You measure the contents, it's, 3.216324 ounces. It's an exact number. Hesed knows no bounds. Hesed is mitpashet. Hesed doesn't have walls. It doesn't have boundaries. A cup is exacting. So whenever we talk about midat hadin, there's no leverage. You're bound by a strict shi'ur. And therefore, kos is din. But there's one type of kos that's not din. That's a kos that overflows. Once already the kos overflows, it's not bound by the walls anymore. The way to turn the kos of din into rahamim is we fill it to the top and we let the wine overflow. Now already the wine is mitpashet outside its boundaries. Now it's considered a kos shel rahamim. And that's what David HaMelech says, kosi, even though my kos was filled with din, revaya, it was really rahamim, it overflowed. And once already it overflowed, it turns into rahamim. That's what we have the custom, as I told you many times, that we fill the kos with yain, and we want it to overflow its value, turn it into rahamim. You shouldn't fill it halfway up. Halfway up is still deen. If you want to turn the tides, you have to let it go to the top. And it wouldn't hurt if a little wine spills over the sides. That's a good sign. That's kosi revaya. Ach tov ha-chesed yirdefuni kol yom hayai. V'shavti bebet Adonai l'orech yamim. On the end of the chapter, we understand. David HaMelech reiterates, V'shavti bebet Adonai le'orech yamin. David HaMelech had one request. I want to dwell in the house of God. That is the Bet Midrash. So what does the first part of the Pasuk mean? Ach tov v'chesed yirdefuni kol yemei hayai. Simply it means, let goodness and kindness pursue me all the days of my life. Let me be under the chassadim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Achto v'ches irdefuni. There's a famous story with the Chafetz Chaim on this pasuk. What happened? There was a rich man, he came to visit the Chafetz Chaim. What was he going to tell the rabbi? He was a very wealthy man, but he was being bombarded with requests from aniyim for tzedakah. And he couldn't take it anymore. He couldn't run his life. They're knocking on his door, they're calling him up, he goes in the street, they stop him. So it was becoming too overwhelming for him. So he was coming to ask the Chafetz Chaim, what is he supposed to do? So he walks into the Chafetz Chaim. Before he able to open his mouth, the Chafetz Chaim is giving a derasha on this pasuk. Chafetz Chaim Ruach HaKodesh. He said, what did David HaMelech say? Ach tov ha-chesed yirdefuni. The word yirdefuni is a negative language. Rodef. Rodef is somebody that's pursuing somebody. What does David HaMelech say? I should be pursued by your goodness? It seems the word yirdefuni doesn't fit in the context of goodness. So the Chafetz Chaim said, nobody in this world has a free ride. Everybody has to get their measure of suffering. Even the people that have the easiest life, everybody has to have a measure of Yisurin. So what does Borei Olam do to some people? To some people, their suffering is that they have to deal with poor people all day long, that they have to give out charity all day long, that their personal life gets interrupted because they have to take care of the less fortunate. But they're lucky, because if it's not that, it's going to be something else. And that's what David HaMelech was saying. I know I have to get punished, but if you have to kill me, ach tov v'chesed yirdefuni. Let God be rodef me. Pursue me in kindness. That I have to do kindness all day long until it hurts, until it's uncomfortable, until the chesed is already very taxing. But you know what? Better that my redifa comes from doing chesed than comes from chas v'shalom being laid up in a hospital bed, or bar minan having an ailment. And the rich man was sitting there. So Chafetz Chaim told him, "After, know what's your question?" He said, "I don't have any questions. The rabbi answered it already." "What do you mean? Forget about it. Nothing passed. I just came to get a beracha." Person has to know that. That's part of Yisurin also. When a person, Beli Ayin Hara, is in a position to give, and he's harassed, we'll say, because of that. And he's complaining, "I can't go anywhere. I can't sit down anywhere. They bombard me." That's a beracha. You should always be pursued with kindness, by having to do kindness. Because if you're not pursued by this, you're pursued by something else. That's the chapter in itself. I want to say just a few dirashot that I bumped into on the way preparing this dirash. There's an interesting Ben Ish Chai. I never saw this midrash before. He's talking on the second pasuk. Bin ot deshe yerbitzeni. Alme minuhot yenahadeni. So he has a whole derash over here. He learns that the word deshe is an allusion to Torah. Because we see in the first perek of Pirkei Avot, the Torah is called Din, the Torah is called Shalom, and the Torah is called Emet. So as a Rashi Tevot of all the different words of Torah, he calls it Deshe. And we know Mem Minuhot Mayim is also Torah. And Mayim Elat. So this is a pasuk that has to do something with the Torah. And he quotes the Midrash. Hatanaim Umrim the Moshe Rabbeinu Alav Hashalom. The Tanaim came to Moshe Rabbeinu. I don't know what that means. How does the Tanakh come to Moshe Rabbeinu exactly? Is it only upstairs, in a dream, whatever? Talmid Shilcha Hu Eliyahu. Your student must be Eliyahu HaNavi. How do we know? De Itmar Aleh Hakol yeh munach ad sheyavo Eliyahu. There's many questions in the Gemara that are left unanswered. And the Gemara leaves it in Tiku. Gemara says Tiku. What is Tiku? Tiku, Tishvi, Yitaretz, Kushot, Uba'ayot. Eliyahu and Tishvi will come and answer these questions. Yeshiv lahen. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ken Vandai, Shu'ut Talmid Haver Shadi. He's my Talmid, he's my colleague, Eliyahu Navi. And he says, I'll prove it to you. What's Moshe Rabbeinu talking? Ve'ale Itmar ben Aharon HaKohen. Aharon HaKohen, Eliyahu Navi also is Pinhas. Pinhas is a Kohen. So it's a Ben Aharon HaKohen. Sha'iti Kivad Peh. He's in my life, I had a speech impediment. Ve'aharon Hayali Lepeh. Aaron was my mouth. So the same thing also. Certain things that are kevad peh, that are difficult to understand, Aaron, meaning in this case Eliyahu Nabi, is going to be my mouth again. He's going to answer a lot of kushiyot that he didn't understand. La'atid, same story. Yokim li HaKadosh Baruch Hu kevad peh. God's going to create me a second time when I come up, kevad peh, again, same speech impediment, kedeh shelo yumru aheru. So the people don't say, oh, this is not Moshe, it's somebody else. Lachin ya'asir ya kadosh baruch hu kevad peh, kebarishona. Ve'eliyahu, de'atem me'aharon, yehyeh li lepeh. He's going to be my mouth, le'taretz kol ha'sefekot, shelo ne'tarzu be'olam hazeh, ve'sliku ve'tiku. Whatever was left in the Tiku, Eliyahu Nabi is going to be my pitch. Like Aharon was my pay the first time around, Eliyahu Nabi will be my pay the second time around. Yavohu v'yitakim v'yaseh min Tiku Tikun. So he says, the Tiku, they're going to add a Nun to the Tiku, and from Tiku it's going to turn into Tikun. By answering the questions, the Tikun, we're going to have a Tikun. Says the Ben Ishchai. Once already we reach that level, we're not going to have such a yigi'ah in the Torah. Today we struggle to figure out these hard pieces of the Torah. We don't have the answer. Something that we have to wait for now, and we have to break our heads to try to understand it. Once already we get all the answers, so a lot of these difficult sugyot that we had to work very hard and exert a lot of energy to try to understand, it will become understood to us. So says the rabbi, Bin'ot deshe yerbiseni. The word ne'ot, if you take the letters of it, it spells be'ot nun. With the letter nun, bin'ot. Be'ot nun. Bin'ot deshe. That's referring to the Torah. Din Shalom Emet. Bin'ot deshe yerbitzeni. With the letter Nun. In Torah, yerbitzeni, you lay me down. Which means when Eliyahu Nabi comes, and he's going to add the letter Nun to the word Tikun, then already it's going to be Tikun, then already the Torah is going to be easy. Almeh! The mind of Torah, now it's going to be tranquil. Now we'll have all the answers. We're not going to need Yigi'avit Dirha like we had earlier. That's the Beresh Chai's Dirash. I saw another interesting piece. Since this is the chapter of Parnasa, there's a famous Gemara in Berachot Tav Gima. Gemara says, Chatzot laila akum lehodot lach. David HaMelech would get up every night at Chatzot. And he would learn Torah. V'chivan sha'ala amud ha-shachar. Once the morning came, nechnesu hakmei Yisrael etzlo. Hakamim would come to David. V'amru lo, they would tell David, Adonenu HaMelech, Amecha Yisrael tzlichim parnasa. They would tell David, the Jewish people, they need parnasa. Amar lehem yilchu v'yitpannesu ze mizeh. Let them go borrow from each other. Let them go mefannes one to another. Amru lo en akomis masbi'a ta'ari ve'en abor mitmaneh mechol yato. There's not enough to go around, they tell him. Amar lehem
Lichu upeshtu yedchem begedud. Good. Let them go to war. And let them go take the spoils of the enemies. And that's how they'll get parnasa. Let them go to war. Let them pillage. Miyad yu'atzim ma'ahitofel. So then they go out, and Ahitofel has to give them clearance so they can go fight. And they get the they go to war. And this would happen, it seems, from time to time. I saw in a sefer called Minhat Eliyahu. This is from Rabbi Eliyahu HaKohen from Izmir, Turkey. He writes a few questions on this Gemara. He says, what was this business that the rabbis are going to David HaMelech with Parnasa? These were members of the Sanhedrin. Chachmei Yisrael, you know that everything is taluy by Kadosh Baruch Hu. If you see that the Jewish people are having trouble making Parnasa, they should have went and prayed. They should have went and made a tefillah. What are you going putting your faith in David HaMelech into the king? Secondly, what does David HaMelech say? Lechu v'yit parnesu ze mizeh. You got to assume that if the people are coming, if the rabbis are coming to ask David HaMelech for Parnasa, they knew that option already. Well, let them go borrow. If the rabbis knew that that was an option, that they can go borrow from each other, they would have done that on themselves. What do they have to go to David HaMelech, and David HaMelech has to tell them, to take Parnasa from each other? Well, they didn't know that, Achamim. Thirdly, what kind of advice does David HaMelech give them? Go to war. David, you're sitting on all this money in the treasury. David HaMelech was very wealthy. Instead of giving all the money to Nebuchadnezzar, open the treasuries, give it to the Jewish people. Instead, what does he tell them? Go to war. What? It's worth it to risk Jewish life. Maybe one Jew is going to die in this war. What, just so I can make a buck? David HaMelech, give them the keys and start letting money out into the economy in order to create a little easier situation for Klaisa. Is that the answer? Go to war? So the Bidiyahu says a beautiful interpretation. He says like this. The Gemara or the Midrash in Vayikra Rabba writes like this. A phenomenon. In the times of Ahav, when the Jewish people went to war, there was no casualties in the war. Even though, in the times of Ahab, the majority of the people worshipping Avodah Zarah. And how is it possible they were successful in all their wars? Because they were the Ahdut, and they never spoke Lashon Hara about each other. Whatever it is, they were very religious in the Avodah Zarah. But they were ethical enough that Lashon Hara was not an option for them. They did not speak behind people's backs. They did not speak derogatory language. Lashon Hara was good by them. They were careful. So Borei Olam says, you're careful in Lashon Hara. You're not killing each other with your tongues. Midah keneged midah, the enemy will not kill you with their swords. The tongue is like a sword. You know, it's soft. But it's very, very potent. Sometimes it can be sharp like a sword. So midah keneged midah. The times of David HaMelech alav shalom, where they had so much Torah, the Midrash says, even the little children were able to give 49 reasons why something is tahor and 49 reasons why it's tameh. They had brilliance in Torah. But when they went out to war in David HaMelech's time, there was casualties. Why? Lashon Hara. No different than our generation. Our generation, Baruch Hashem, have a lot of Torah. Shivas, kodelim, synagogues, shiurei Torah all over the place. But unfortunately, Lashon Hara is in our midst. Am Yisrael talking about each other, talking about one another, even in the religious world. One group talking about another, one person talking about Lashon Hara. Unfortunately, even though we're very religious in Torah, this weakness of Lashon Hara is still amongst us. And what happened in David HaMelech's time? Because of that, God says, you're killing with your mouth, the enemy's sword will have an ability to kill Chas v'Shalom. There's a pasuk in Yeshayahu.
Imru tzaddik ki tov. Ki prim ala lehem yukhelu. There's a certain tzaddik that's called a tzaddik tov. It says when you have a tzaddik tov, ki prim ma'ala lehem yukhelu. Everybody benefits from their own blessings. What does it mean, this pasuk? There's two types of tzaddikim. There's one tzaddik that is so righteous, the whole generation receives panasa and his zechut. Even though they're bad, even though the generation is not worthy, how are they going to exist? So they live off the tzaddik. That's one tzaddik, he's tov. But it's not the best because the people have to live off of him. The biggest tzaddik is the one that's able to bring the people back to Teshuvah. Then everybody can live on their own merits. Yeshaya Navi says, Imrut tzaddik ki tov. You know the biggest tzaddik is? That he can make the people make Teshuvah and then kipirim ma'al alehem yochem. They'll eat from their own. Mipirim ma'al alehem. They don't have to eat on the tzaddik's account. If you have to eat on the tzaddik's account, that means you're in default. That means you don't have zechuyot. You're relying on the tzaddik to give you the patnatzah. But a true tzaddik, he says, don't rely on me. Rely on yourselves. But how does he get them to rely on themselves? He causes them to make teshuvah. And once they make teshuvah, then the panasai comes down for each one individually. Kipiri ma'alelehem yochin. Says Rabbi Eliyahu. Hachmei Yisrael, you know why they were coming to David? Not for panasa. They knew panasa comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But they were coming to David and Melech and they were telling him, Amecha Yisrael selichim panasa. And we know that the panasa that they're getting today is in your zechut. They're relying on you. They're ba'alei lashon hara. They don't deserve panasa. Therefore, David, you have to do something. You have to give them musar. Of course they weren't coming to ask for money. And therefore the answer wasn't that David should open up his treasury and give money. The question that they were coming to David HaMelech was, David, you're the chief rabbi. You're the tzaddik ki tov. Give them musar. Give them what's our avon? We don't know where to make the tikkun. You're the prophet of the generation. Guide us. Amecha Yisrael Sirichim Panasa. Where do we go? What avon are we making that we're not able to bring the shefa down? So David HaMelech tells them. Number one, Lechu upanesu ze mizeh. What he meant to tell them is, go mefayes each other. Go to each other first and ask for forgiveness. There's too many ba'alei lashon hara over here. Let each one go to each other first and make a teshuvah, make a piyus. And then David HaMelech tells the Sanhedrin, and then let them go out to war. What he was alluding to them is, you know why we're scared to go out to war? Because we're scared we're going to die in war. And you know why we're dying in war? Because there's ba'alei lashon hara amongst us. Lichu, let them go out to war. Go tell the people that they have to go out to war. They'll be scared. And then explain to them, the reason why you're scared is because the swords of the enemies are penetrating us. Because your tongues are penetrating each other. And therefore when they're going to go out on the battlefield, the custom was, the Kohen would get up and say, he would give them musar. Who is scared of Averot? And go tell them that the Averot that we're dealing with now is Lashon Hara. And therefore David was not telling them to go fight a war. He was telling them, look at the difference. In our generation, with all the religiosity that we have, go fight a war. Look what's happening to us. We're losing every battle. We're losing soldiers. That must be because there's Lashon Hara. And that was the answer to their question. What Avon are we committing that's not bringing us Panasa? That we have to rely on the Tzaddik. We don't want to rely on the tzaddik. We want to rely on themselves. And therefore we said, the avon is Lashon Hara. Once you get rid of Lashon Hara, then the Shefa Beracha comes down. This is very important for our time as well. As we're looking for every angle for Parnasa, to open the faucets of Parnasa. Nobody wants to hear this because this is too hard. This is the solution. We're looking for rabbit's feet. Give me a red string, maybe I can put it around my arm, and that'll bring Parnasa. And maybe if I could rub the rabbi's forehead a few times, or you give me a special oil that I could drink, or some type of sigula, that'll bring me Parnasa. I'm not belittling sigulot. If the sigulot are brought down and it's the berachah betzadik, of course we don't mizazel. But sometimes we're being mendagdek on echa, and we're mizazel bekriyat shema. We're being very strict on the fine points, but on the ikar, we're forgetting. So to rub a rabbit's foot, but you're still speaking lashon hara, the rabbit's foot's not going to help you. The Esach Petz Chaim once says in the Gemara, if you fill the cup up of water to the top, and you make it to that Shadam with a full cup, you become rich. So if everybody will take the cup, fill that up to the top. But the Hafetz Chaim said that's only talking about when you're doing everything else. Which means if a guy doesn't put on tefillin in the morning, and he's ochel nevelot to the fourth, and he uses a cup of water filled to the top, it's not going to help him. These things only work if you're doing everything else. So this item now is a sigula de parnasa. But it doesn't end there. And that's the same thing over here in our generation as well. When we begin to be a little more careful with our lashon, especially now that there's a war taking place, what's going to protect the soldiers in Eretz Yisrael? What can we do? We're far away from the battlefield. We don't have an ability to go into the trenches like they are doing. But one thing is careful. We can be careful these few days, the next week during the war, from our lashon. To be careful not to talk about other people. It's not your business. Somebody brings up somebody else's name. I'm not interested. I want to hear it. Not for me. And you just close your ears. Then already, Borei Olam says, you're holding back your sword. Then the sword of our enemies will not be able to penetrate Klal Yisrael. Then already will be fulfilled. Utsu'etza v'tufar. Daberu davar v'lo yakum. Because when we watch our dibur, then Borei Olam says their dibur is nothing. Daberu davar. Let them speak whatever they want. V'lo yakum. It will not happen. Ki emmanu el. Because Borei Olam is with us. Yiratzon. Zichut of David HaMelech Alam Shalom. What we learned tonight in the Hashkafa of this class. We should be a little more careful in our lashon, and then Borei Olam will open us. Parnasa, shefa, beracha, baslacha. And now we're going to have melaveh malkah, Be'ezrat Hashem. Zichut David HaMelech again ba'adenu, ba'ad Klal Yisrael, ba'ad hayalenu, ha'omdim al mishmar asenu, amen ve'amen. Yehu atom u'morach. Rabbi Chanan ben Shamer, Sas Bar Kosh 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 Kosh